Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Runnelstown.
It would be a little weird. Is that where Dusty Rhodes' family's from?
No, Daddy, I'm from Texas, as you've seen. I'm not from Mississippi. I love the great state of Mississippi. I've been here many times, but I was born a plumber's son in Texas, if you will.
I would like to see Cody's story end in Mississippi.
In Runnelstown.
Yes.
Let's move WrestleMania to Runnelstown. We can just have it out there. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Remember, when you buy from Strange Brew Coffee House, you support the Bulldog Initiative, just the same way you do with our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's the slogan. What that means is this: whatever it takes to get people in the door at your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution and a plan for that. And if you're a business owner, you know you're already spending money on printing. By taking your business to Pip Printing and Signs, not only are you getting 30 years of experience, not only are you dealing with a Bulldog-owned and operated company, you're talking about a company that's going to donate 10% of your sale right back to the Bulldog Initiative. Now, that is a deal you simply cannot pass up. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 to get more information. Tell them you heard about it here on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever it is, maroon and white, not just clothes, although they have an incredible selection. But if you got to replace, you need a new flag out on the front porch, you need a new tag on your car, new stickers, new Yeti cup, whatever it is, they've got it at College Corner. Everything maroon and white. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Sweet Pea, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, reset the clock, Robbie. We went there yesterday. It was fantastic, as always. And I just, you know, every time I go there, I remember why I like eating there so much. It's like, you know, you go there and you're like, oh, Restaurant Tyler, it's good. And then you go there and you're like, why don't I eat here every day?
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know why. Sometimes I'm like, why am I waiting a couple weeks to come back? I should just go back today. And you're going to feel that way, too, the next time you make a trip to Restaurant Tyler. So if you go there for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, it's the best meal in town at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi. That gives you the opportunity. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's a branch near you. And that means you can talk to a community bank, a bank that has the same small town values that you have, but gives you all the financial flexibility you need, like you were dealing with a big corporate bank. So it's all the good and really none of the bad. And that's a great setup there at Priority One Bank. So if you haven't already, look at their website, PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location nearest you and open an account today that's going to benefit you and your family for years to come. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We have got a loaded show today. The gods have blessed us with content today, so much so that our spring preview, let's wait one more day on that. We'll talk about Alabama tomorrow. But before Robbie and I get into it, we need to find out what happened tonight in College Station. Mississippi State, Texas A&M, quad one opportunity for the Bulldogs. Were they able to take advantage and seal up their trip to the big dance? One man knows. We go now to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning, Future Brian. Guys, this is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. And for the second game in a row, Mississippi State decides to no-show the first half, but today they complicated matters by not showing the first few moments of the second half and allowed Texas A&M to build a 23-point lead. A furious comeback falls short. 75-69 is the final from College Station. The Aggies take down Mississippi State, who have now lost three games in a row. 24 points for Josh Hubbard, but missed his last 8 3-point attempts in this game. Only other Bulldog in double figures. I'm sorry, two other Bulldogs in double figures. Deshaun Davis was a huge spark for State throughout this game. 15 points for him. He had 4 3-pointers in this game. Cam Matthews finishes with 12 points. Tolu Smith, only 8 points, 4 rebounds. He didn't score until about midway through the second half. State just was not ready to play in this game. There's just no getting around that fact. State was not ready to play. And it showed. And Texas A&M, give them credit, came out, hit their open looks. They hit 7 out of 10 3-pointers in the first half. They regressed back to the mean in the second half, 1 of 11. But that was enough to push out to that lead. And State got ratted, no question about that. Manny Obosky, a guy who averages 4 points per game. on the season, he's a minus 28. But he had 17 points in this one, including couple of three-pointers for the Aggies, and that was enough for them to get the win. Again, you can't just no-show the first 22, 23 minutes of the game and expect to win, especially when you're a team like Mississippi State that's limited offensively. They're better than they were a season ago offensively, but they're still limited. There's no question about that. And if your all SEC center isn't going to show up until 10, 11 minutes left to go in the game, it's going to be tough to win. And then he's going to be into foul trouble, and he can't play for a few minutes when you are kind of working things through him and getting some buckets and cutting into the lead, and he has to sit a few minutes with foul trouble, and you lose some of your momentum there. It's just a bad game for Mississippi State start to finish. And as I said, they've now lost three games in a row. And now their game with South Carolina, is it going to be a must-win? I feel like it is, just to get some positive momentum back in. As far as the tournament goes, a single-digit loss on the quad one loss on the road is not going to be a huge hit to your metrics. I would expect to see State drop to maybe 36, 37, something like that. Still in a spot where you feel like they would be in. But as I've said before, if they lose this game, and which they did, and then if they lose on Saturday, and then they go to the SEC tournament and they lose, and then you've lost five in a row, and the committee's looking at you like, what are we doing? I don't know if this team is in or not. So State needs to stop the bleeding on Saturday. They need to be able to come home and get a win. They lose two games on the road where they just don't show up. And State on the road this year has just been a nightmare. What, two wins on the road all season long at LSU, at Missouri? He's not a good road team. Luckily, the NCAA tournament games are played in neutral sites where State hasn't lost a game this year. Just a bad game for the Bulldogs, all in all. Even with 12 points, Cam Matthews was just not good in this game. Minus 20. Shaq Moore, minus 21. Sean Jones Jr., minus 17. Three of your starters, three of your five starters are a combined minus 48. That's not the way to win. That's not how you get things done. Jimmy Bell didn't play but 8 minutes, but gave you nothing. So literally all he had was a foul and a turnover. That's his stat line. One foul, one turnover. Keyshawn Murphy, no points for him. Did give you some rebounds and a few assists, so he at least gave you that in his 17 minutes. He was a plus 8. Hubbard and Jeffries were a plus 11 each. Deshaun Davis, despite his 15 points, was just a net 0. And Tolu was a plus 6. But, when three of your five starters are minus 21, minus 20, minus 17, and the plus minus, you're not winning that game. So, and again, one of the issues I have with Jans, and I don't have a lot of them, but a lot of, I have issues sometimes seeing. I feel like he has trouble making adjustments sometimes. Now, we'll give him some credit. He changed the defensive game plan in this, and that's what allowed State to get back in it. He started doing a little more half-court press, a little bit more three-quarter press, stuff like that. And it worked. But offensively, or defensively in the first half, State's game plan was not good. And it allowed for a lot of open looks and a lot of easy shots for Texas A&M. So, big game at the hump Saturday. Bulldogs need to get it if they're going to have any chance to solidify that win in the and solidify their berth in the NCAA tournament. It feels like this is the third game in a row for State where if they had just won, they would be in. Now, granted, I know Kentucky and Auburn, those are tough games, and I don't have an issue with them losing those games. They had a chance to beat Kentucky. They didn't have a chance to beat Auburn. But this is a game they should have had a much better chance of winning, and they didn't because they just did not play in the first 24, 25 minutes of the game. All right, before we go back to the guys, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Because beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, if you're firing up the grill, some of this nice early spring weather, nothing will beat the sizzle of beef. Nobody's mad when you say, I'm cooking steaks tonight. So make your family happy with a trip to the grocery store. Bring home some ribeyes or some strips. Throw them on the grill. No one's going to say, Dad, I didn't want to eat that. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And it's just like that. When you're coming to Starkville, if you're here this weekend for basketball, for baseball, a trip over to Two Brothers is advisable for you. So go check them out. If you haven't ever been to Two Brothers, I'll be honest with you. At this point, if you're a person who is a Mississippi State fan and you haven't been to Two Brothers yet, I don't necessarily know that you're really a Mississippi State fan. Unless you're just a hardcore vegetarian, in which case I can understand it. I think they have salads, though. So I'm just saying. Make a trip if you haven't been already. But I know that you probably have been, and you know what I'm talking about. So enjoy the smoked Southern soul food for your next trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. And they've been doing it for 49 years. That's how you can trust that if something goes wrong with a product they sell you, they're going to get it fixed. Quickly, too. Now, you don't have to worry about being on hold for an hour with a call center. You don't have to worry about an out-of-state technician telling you he'll be there in a week to 10 days. They're a Mississippi company, so a lot of times they can be able to fix you up the exact same day. They know you can't afford to wait. They're not going to make you wait at Advantage Business Systems. Give them a call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, if you're going to be over in Starkville, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. You need to grab some new merchandise. You need to swap out your banner rims for your script states. You need to grab a Bulldog Initiative hoodie, a Bulldog Initiative t-shirt, polo. You need to maybe look at some new stuff for the house. You know, it's time for a little spring cleaning. And by spring cleaning, I mean the banner rim. Get it out. Let's replace it with the state script and do it at Maroon & Co. Before you get to Davis Way, to Duty Noble, to the Hump, you need to head to Maroon & Co. Let's go back to the studio to present day Brian and Robbie. All right, thanks to Future Brian for his time. Robbie, any words for Future Brian?
I hate you. Or I love you so much, Future Brian.
There you go. We don't know. We don't know which the answer is.
We'll figure it out.
He knows, but we don't know.
I'll be able to tell you how I feel about Future Brian around 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Yeah, that's in the future, Wednesday night. That's in the future. So
correct.
Yeah. He already knows at that point. He knows before you do.
That's true.
So, all right, let's go back to baseball. Mississippi State, you were in Jackson or in Pearl on Tuesday night for Mississippi State versus Southern Mississippi. State falls behind 4-0 in the first inning, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, here we go again. And instead, in something that could never have happened a season ago, State gets 8 innings of scoreless relief and strings together 5 runs to take a 5-4 win over the Golden Eagles. Dogs have now won 6 in a row. 2 straight years they've won this game in Pearl over their in-state rivals from Hattiesburg. This is a game that, as it was constructed, could not have happened a season ago because State could never have gotten 8 innings of scoreless relief. So let's start with the good there and that performance from the bullpen. That was a very impressive, especially from a couple guys. You know, Tyson Harden has struggled at times this year. Tyler Davis has struggled at times. Both pitched really, really well really, from really State. Well. Only one walk after the first inning for the Bulldogs. I'm impressed by that bullpen performance.
Yeah, it was outstanding. I don't know if we saw a performance like that for the last 2 years. I mean, it's I don't remember one.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Which I don't know how many times they would have thrown eight innings out of the bullpen anyway, but just to come in that situation, put out the fire, because that's what you had to do for a couple of innings there before your offense started to provide some kind of relief for you. You had to come in there, and a true freshman, by the way, did that. Mm-hmm. Nolan Stevens, who has been really good to start his career.
Yeah.
He was the first guy out of the pen. And after State struck out four times in the first seven at-bats in the first two innings. So he wasn't in there with a lot of momentum from the offensive side of the ball. He was just out there pitching, trying to keep things together. And this is now three straight really good outings for him. He had a tough game against Austin Peay in his first outing. And now, let's see, five and two-thirds innings his last three games, four hits, no runs, no walks, seven strikeouts. And he had two strikeouts and no walks against Southern Miss. I thought him kind of setting the tone was big for Mississippi State. And then you saw Evan Sieri come in there and do a good job, Tyson Harden come in there, Tyler Davis, and then you close it out with Brooks Auger. It was just – it was masterful work by Justin Parker's guys. And I think we have seen a couple of guys not really come to fruition at this point. And that's really like Colby Holcomb mm-hmm. and Logan Kohler so far.
Logan Kohler?
But not Kohler. Sorry. Carson Ligon.
Okay.
Sometimes I get the transfers mixed up.
The
that's LK my bad.
And the KL, you get them mixed up?
Well, it's the transfers.
I got you.
Sometimes I get
them
mixed up.
At a press conference or anything.
So Tyson Harden really struggled last year. And I – what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What'd you say? What?
I didn't say anything.
What was that look for?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Tyson Harden, when he came in the game last year, and Tyler Davis to a large degree too, it was pretty much over.
Yeah.
And they have now, at least Davis to this point, has shown to be really, really competitive when he gets on the mound. And he hasn't gotten in the ballgame and blown up. I mean, he's had a couple of games where he's given up a run. But last night, I thought, was outstanding. He faced six batters, had two strikeouts, got them all out. And Tyson Harden, I thought, took a big step last night because he got a couple of guys on base early in the two innings that he pitched. The second time he gave up, I think, a double to lead off the inning, left the guy there. That resolve was huge. And that's back-to-back games where he's been solid. And I asked Chris Lemonis about him last night and Tyler Davis. And the biggest thing that has changed with him, Lemonis said, was he's throwing a power sinker now that's missing bats. And a lot of flat action last year, a lot of stuff that was just staying on plane that was really easy to hit. This year, he's missing bats. The pitchability has gotten a lot better for him. And that could be really beneficial for State. Is he a guy that right now you say could go out there in the eighth inning and shut an inning down? I don't know if we're there yet to say that. But we know he's capable of doing that. He's had some good stuff last night. I liked it. And then Tyler Davis was just fantastic. So great, great ball game for this bullpen. Eight strikeouts, I think one walk, and three hits, no runs. It was just masterful work. And last year in this game, they walked 11 guys.
Yeah, saw that.
So to see the pitching staff come out in this game and do that was just outstanding. The Carson Ligon start, notwithstanding, I thought this was a well-pitched ball game.
I think we have to talk about Ligon just a little bit because that's a guy that you and I both had high expectations for, a guy we thought could be part of the weekend rotation, and just has not shown anything to this point. You know, obviously it's very early. It's still early in the season. But in his opportunities, he has not been impressive. You know, are you concerned, you know, that he can make any kind of impact here in Starkville?
It remains to be seen so far. I mean, I don't know if he's fully healthy. I don't really know what his situation is because we don't get any kind of conversation about health. So I don't know. I mean, it could be that he's just working back from that injury. I don't know, but he is not been great to this point. And he's been hit harder than I think any other pitcher that State's put out there too. He's given up 4 home runs, which is just unfathomable. I didn't even know he had pitched enough to give up that many home runs, but he has. He gave up 2 homers against Austin Peay, and he's given up a homer each of the last 2 games. So it just hasn't been very good so far for him. And that's a guy that we thought could be a Saturday or Sunday starter for Mississippi State, and we just haven't seen it yet from him.
From a batting perspective, the guy of the night, you know, your best player showed up for you, and that's Dakota Jordan. 3 RBI, 2 for 4, had the home run in the 7th that gave Mississippi State the lead. That ball was – you have to hit the ball really far, really hard to get it out of that park. And he hit it opposite field. Really did a good job there. David Marchand continues to hit well. I will say this about State, the way that they've played thus far, is that we thought that it was going to be, you know, can they be good enough pitching because they're going to have offense? They haven't really had offense. The offense has not been maybe where you and I thought it was going to be this season. Do you think some guys like, I mean, Hines is not hitting the ball particularly well. Chance is hitting the ball okay. Do you think this offense can turn things around and be a top half of the SEC offense? Because if they continue to pitch the way they have, well, then you might just have something there.
I don't know if they can. I just don't know if there's enough bats in this lineup that could really work an opposing pitching staff consistently. And one of the biggest surprises to me, this offense has 7 home runs in 13 games, and 5 of them are Dakota Jordan.
Yeah, that's really weird. Hines hasn't had a home run yet, right?
Bryce Chance hit a home run in the first game. Mm-hmm. Outside of Dakota Jordan, there's been 1 home run hit in the last 12 games outside of Dakota. And like I said, I mean, Hunter Hines hasn't hit one yet, only 2 doubles. We're seeing a lot of ground balls from Hunter Hines. I wonder if he's changing his approach a little bit, trying to become maybe a little more well-rounded, not so much just swinging for the fences or whatever. I don't know. Just trying to make sense of it. I mean, Connor Hijack has not hit a home run. He's scuffling a little bit at the plate right now. I think we're seeing Dakota Jordan kind of come out of a little bit of a slow start for himself. I mean, he's batting .347 on the year. Among regular starters, he's been the best hitter in the lineup. But, you know, David Marchand, since he's been a starter, has just been unbelievable. .484, he's about to lead the team in hits. Mm-hmm. And just has been a really professional approach for him. .710 slugging percentage. .541 on base. So he's been State's probably the best batter in the lineup for Mississippi State when he's been back. And I think that's helped to have a guy like that, adding a guy like that to the lineup that had been out is huge, because he has a little different element. He can bunt for hits. He can sacrifice. He can really be a menace on the base paths. There's a little something different with what he brings to the table, but you've got to get some more guys going. And I really think they need to try something new, maybe in the outfield. Nolan Stevens is a really professional-looking hitter when he's up there too for a freshman, and has a lot that Mississippi State doesn't really have on this roster from a talent perspective. We saw what he did on the mound on Tuesday night, batting .400. Now he's only had a few at-bats, but – yeah. When he started the other day, he was like 2 for 3, 2 for 4, whatever it was, and really scalded the ball. I think they need a little more of that in the lineup. And it might be a good time to sit Connor Hijack for a game or two, see how he reacts to it. And he's reacted really well to it when he's come in the ball game after sitting out. But as a starter, just has been scuffling, like I said. So there's some things they're going to have to move around. They just haven't been able to really get into their groove just yet. I don't know if they will, but they're going to have to.
On one side of this, I look at this team and the way they've played this year, and I'm like, they're playing a different kind of baseball. They're much better defensively. They're much better on the mound. And, you know, maybe the hitting is going to come around, even though I know that the schedule is about to get much more difficult. You could hold out some hope that once you get – a month into the season, the bats start coming around. The other side of me is like, well, this team went on a winning streak at this point a year ago. They beat USM a year ago in this very game, and we all know how that turned out. So I ask you, you know, have you? I guess we'll say, we'll phrase it like this: have you seen anything in these first 13 games that now State's 9-4 that makes you think, well, they could get this going at some point and be a tournament team?
I think my concern with that is I haven't seen enough from the offense to have a lot of faith they're going to be able to put both things together, because I really just don't think that they can be good at one thing and not at the other and be successful. You know, like, the schedule is so tough that I don't think they can just come out and expect to hold LSU to 3 runs and try to scratch across 4. I don't think that's going to be
right.
A key to success for them this year. The offense has got to be good for them to be able to challenge for postseason play. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice. The schedule that they have is absolutely brutal. I mean, you're staring down the possibility of 1 or 2 wins in the first 2 weekends of the SEC schedule.
Mm-hmm.
3 wins, I think, would be massive for State. If they could get 3 wins in 3 weekends, that's massive. And think about that. You're 3-6 to start SEC play. I mean, that's tough. And you've put yourself in a hole there. So, and that's asking a lot for this team to go win 3 games from LSU, Texas A&M, and Florida. It's going to be tough.
I agree 100%. So I'm going to continue to be, you know, cautious in my evaluations of this team going forward until I see them winning games against SEC teams. I will hold all my judgment on that. Before we get out of this topic, you know, you think Matt Wallner would have told everybody about keeping your mouth shut after a game against Mississippi State, but I guess they didn't pass that message along. What is this guy? Yeah. What is he saying?
That
beating USM is the Super Bowl? What?
A team that won the national championship 2 years ago.
Yeah. I've determined something. When a team, a fan base, a player, whatever, says, well, it was their Super Bowl, what they're really saying is, we weren't prepared for this game.
Yeah, so you're telling me that Southern Miss, who is playing Mississippi State, an SEC school, was perhaps overlooking the game, but Mississippi State came into it thinking, you know, this is our Super Bowl. This is our World Series.
Yeah.
You're going to try to convince us of that. And also, Southern Miss has now lost to as many Group of 5 or whatever you want to call mid-majors as Mississippi State has. They lost to Marist, Missouri State, Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana State's a solid team.
Mm-hmm. But they're a mid-major.
And you're a mid-major.
Yeah. I don't know what this guy's thought process was.
This is the biggest game of the year for Southern Miss.
Yeah, this and the Ole Miss game, yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it. This is it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they play Ole Miss twice.
Ole Miss have knocked USM out of their own regional and super regional in the last 5 years.
Yes.
It's last 7 years with State. I mean, it's.
I think State was, I mean, to me, the celebration last night was, holy crap, we just threw 8 shutout innings.
We came back. It's okay to have emotion after you win a game. You know, you don't have to just, not everything has to be all business. It is.
Well, I think that's what Billy was having too. I think he was a little emotional.
Oh, I definitely agree with that.
I went back and looked at that Wallner tweet, because that came, you know, they swept State the year before.
Yeah.
We all remember that.
Right.
And so then State hosts them in 19, and Wallner, for people that didn't remember it, Matt Wallner, very talented guy. I think he might even be in the MLB now. I'm not sure, but super talented. But he said before it, yeah, you know, I think they went to Omaha or something last year. It's just it's another game for us. And so after that series, I quote tweeted that video and I said, Matt Wallner 0-for-10 with 4 strikeouts or whatever. And buddy, that thing did numbers. I went and looked back at it. I'd forgotten like how viral that went. And Also, I'd forgotten that Ryan Olenek got into it with you and I.
He did.
Twitter. You remember that?
I do.
He was like, oh, you guys would never last out there. Like, well, we're not out here saying, like, I guess, you know, Mississippi State went to Omaha or something and providing sound bites.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well.
Ryan Olenek.
That guy. Well, all right. Hey, speaking of Ole Miss. I'm going to start this off with a little bit of a rant, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Every year, on message boards, on Twitter, on whatever, people take shots at us when we criticize the coaches at Mississippi State. Every year, they're like, you know, what do you guys, these guys love Mississippi State, and they're doing their best, and blah, blah, blah. And I've said this comment before, that we have a lot of Mississippi State fans who love the employees of Mississippi State more than Mississippi State. And that's just a fact.
Correct.
Well, look at you now.
Some of the same people got onto us. You need to support our coaches.
Yeah. Well,
here they are today.
You know, we have family. Well, what do you do when the family decides to move to the other house? I mean, this is what I'm talking about, guys. So Robbie and I are going to still be here. You don't have to worry about us leaving, unless Ole Miss makes us some sort of ridiculous offer, in which case it is see you later. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not too terribly worried about it. But Zach Arnett, on the other hand, has moved to what he will perceive as greener pastures and has taken an analyst job at Ole Miss. First off, Lane Kiffin.
Troll of the century.
There has never been a better troll. You know, 20 years ago, he'd have been living in his mom's basement. Now he's making $9 million a year. That's how far trolling has come.
Yes.
It's a viable profession at this point. I saw a great tweet from our friend, the Crystal Method. He said, at this point, I just won't be surprised if he spends a year's salary to get A.J. Brown elected actual mayor of Starkville. Just a troll.
By the way, A.J., I want to remind people, 1-2 in egg bowls.
Yes.
We keep bringing that up, but no,
it is
Jake Mangum is a mayor.
Yeah,
AJ Brown was 1-2.
Yes,
Jake Mangum was dominant in that rivalry.
You're not telling me anything. And I will say this also: Arnett, from a defensive perspective, really good coach. Gave Ole Miss fits in his time there. So having him on staff makes sense because you can do a lot of self scout with that. Like, what am I doing here? What are you seeing that people can stop? I get it. Makes a lot of sense. I don't know how much it helps from a recruiting perspective, because I don't know that Arnett was a top tier recruiter, but he certainly would have some connections in some of these guys. Because it can't hurt.
Well, he's an analyst, anyways. He's not really recruiting.
But it's a thing of he just knowledge. There's knowledge he can give, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
Yeah, the whole comment, like, well, you know, I didn't do this because of in-state recruiting. Well, I hope not.
He's an analyst.
Because Zach Arnett was absolutely dreadful with in-state recruiting.
So, but, come on. Come on. I mean, this was a troll move. 100%.
Yeah.
If Zach Arnett had been, you know, gotten fired from Kansas, he's not on Lane Kiffin's radar.
I don't think Zach was really interested in moving from Starkville right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was content with living here. He really enjoys it here. He's got, you know, nice land out there where he lives, and he's raising chickens, and I think they might even have a cow out there.
That's not going to go over well.
Yeah. I mean, you guys got a real redneck farmer on your hands. So I hope you guys know that. This guy's not going to wear a suit and tie very often.
Yeah.
Or a bow tie especially. But as far as like the hire, I mean, just on the surface, it's a smart hire by Lane Kiffin just to add another piece to his staff that knows what he's talking about. I mean, it's the Nick Saban school of thought.
Yeah.
Which I think State will get there eventually, because I think Jeff Lebby has kind of the same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But Ole Miss is more attractive right now because of what they have. And they, you know, they're spending some money. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much money Zach Arnett's going to cost. So
it's probably not much. Yeah, but people were talking about state having to pay less on the buyout. I mean, there's no way it's more than $100,000. There's no way.
No. And he's still making good money, state's contract. Yeah. But you're exactly right. Like, these people, that they always come around like this. And mm-hmm. It's the Ole Miss fans are the same way. So if there's Ole Miss fans listening laughing, you're the exact same way. You did this with Hugh Freeze. Mm-hmm. You'll do it with Lane Kiffin when mm-hmm. he eventually leaves. You'll do it with Chris Beard when he leaves. You'll talk trash about him when you leave after getting upset at people for talking trash about him when they were here.
Yeah.
That's what we will criticize coaches while they're here, and we will take the criticism from fans that say that we're negative and stuff like that. And when those coaches leave, those fans that say that we're too negative are going to throw those people into the mud.
Exactly.
It's just, I will go back and find tweets if I need to of the people that said we were negative and we needed to have our credentials revoked and we need to go somewhere else. I will find your tweets, and then I will find what your response is to Zach Arnett being hired by Ole Miss, and I will post them if I have to, if I need to make a point. I don't right now. I don't feel like getting that petty. I'm a little busy, but if I need to, I will do that.
It's available to us. That's for sure. So
yes. So you might want to go delete those tweets.
So there you go. Arnett to Ole Miss. I hope I run into him. So I can't wait to see him in a powder blue shirt. I'm going to have something to say. I'm going to be like, I don't know if that's the right look for you or not.
And again, you know, like, state has Bradley Soul right now.
It happens. David Turner.
Like, these people have no loyalty.
Levy has coached at both schools. Coleman Hutzler has coached at both schools. They just don't have it. It's just not
the same. Their loyalty is to Benjamin Franklin and all the cash that's coming into their bank account.
And even like former players like Cody Schneider, he's up there at Ole Miss right now. I ran into him at the Ole Miss basketball game, and we talked for a little bit. He was like, you know, I got a good job here with a coach that gave me an opportunity, and I'm making good money, and I've got a chance next year to be in the college football playoff. I'm excited.
And he hated Ole Miss.
And he hated Ole Miss when he was here. But, you know, when you grow up, you have a family, you got to take care of them. And so it just is what it is. I don't begrudge Arnett or anything.
Like, no. He was fired.
Yeah, he was fired. But I do think
Mississippi State fired him.
It is funny. It is funny.
It's not like he left Mississippi State from being head coach to being an analyst at Ole Miss.
Exactly. Yeah, he got fired. So moves on.
Oh, it is funny, though. Yeah, you're right.
It is funny. All right, tomorrow's show, basketball preview for Mississippi State, South Carolina. Plus, we'll finally get into our spring football preview for the Alabama Crimson Tide, our first of 15 previews to come in the coming weeks as we go around the SEC. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.